When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is part of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, a program designed to help all podcasts reach their full potential. For information about joining the Robots Radio Rocket Club, check out robotsradio.net.
Welcome to the Wizarding World Lorecast. Join us as we take a deep dive into the lore of the fantastical world of the Harry Potter universe.
Welcome back, witches and wizards, to another episode of the Wizarding World Lorecast. I'm one of your hosts, Ben of Temeria, and always with me is my good friend, Nina.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, it's going. Doing those voiceover webinars are a lot of fun, I will say.
Yeah? You've been learning a lot?
Yes. Absolutely, I'm learning a lot.
Oh, good.
Doing a lot of new vocal like exercises before I do my shows now, so I'm like, you know, like my muscles are good and ready to go, talking a lot. And I've been drinking like over a liter of water now every day.
That's good. Everyone should drink a lot of water every day.
So thanks to that, I've been drinking a lot more water because hydrating your throat actually doesn't like none of the sugar or anything will create phlegm, so you can talk longer. And that was my problem when I first started these shows, because I had a lot of phlegm because I drank nothing but like caffeinated drinks.
Well, live and learn. Caffeinated drinks aren't too bad, but definitely drink that water.
And yes, Kevin, honey can help. It depends on the honey, though. I did learn in the webinar, some honey can help, but a lot of honey, because there's so much added sugar to it, can actually result in the opposite effect. I do
get that local honey.
Yeah, local honey will definitely help. Honey. There is this Chinese herbal like throat lozenges that Steve Bloom recommends, which I do need to order. They are on Amazon, so I need to order those because that actually will coat your throat to where you would be better for longer sessions. So days like this, like every Wednesday I do.
Every Wednesday, I gotta pop a couple.
Yep, so there we have it. So let's get right into today's episode. So today we are revisiting our last revisit topic, that I did a while back, which is the Bo Baptan's Academy of Magic. And you might heard of this Academy of Magic because it's in Goblet of Fire, both the film and the book.
Yes, and it definitely is.
It's a great school, and you'll learn some fun facts on the behind-the-scenes stuff with the school, too. Was completely different, that was showcased in the film, than what actually is in the books.
Ooh, excited to hear those.
And yes, I will shoot you a link. I need to get the link, but I will give you the link of what the throat lozenges are. I want to try them myself, and he does say it helps a lot because he always have them when he goes into recording sessions. So
natural remedies are always the better remedies, and I will stand by that. And I am definitely one of those people. I'd much rather drink honey and tea when I have a sore throat than take any type of medication because it works so much better.
Right.
Yes.
So to get right into it, Bo Baptan Academy of Magic, which is a French wizarding school located in the Pyrenees Mountains of southern France, is one of the three largest wizarding schools in Europe, the other two being Hogwarts and Durmstrang, which we did cover earlier. Hogwarts we covered way back. We didn't revisit that one because there was no necessary for me to do that because it was one of the first episodes I did. But Durmstrang, we just did that last week and we revisited that one.
Yes.
So the school took many of its wizarding students from France, as well as large numbers from the Spain and Portugal and Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Belgium. It is unknown if students from other countries were allowed. So, you know, all the countries near France.
Right.
So
no type of foreign exchange students, seems like it's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. The school's coat of arms consists of two golden wands crossed over another, each shooting three stars.
It's pretty.
It is a very pretty. It is a very pretty coat of arms.
Yes, it is very pretty.
So getting to the history of the school. Founded sometime before 1290s, Beauxbatons was many noteworthy students over the years. Most prominent were Nicolas Flamel, the alchemist famed for discovering the philosopher's stone, and his wife,
Perronel.
Yeah, that, her. Words. Words are hard.
Yes.
But yeah, if you didn't know, Nicolas Flamel did graduate and attended Beauxbatons Academy of Magic. Which makes sense because, you know, the time we actually see him on screen is during Fantastic Beasts, which is set in the 1920s of Paris, France.
Yes.
Which is also going to be the set location for Epic Universal for the new park down in Florida. Oh. That was launching next year.
Yes.
So you'll be able to see that in real life as much as you do in fictional.
I wonder if they're going to have something for Flamel over there.
From all the leaks and everything, they are. And so far, all the leaks have been true. So, yeah. So as far as we know, his house will be there and displayed. I don't know. I'm assuming we probably should be able to go into it, but I'm not entirely sure. There hasn't been any mention of that. Or it could be an interactive thing. They might do something like that again and maybe connect it to a shop of some sort. Who knows?
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Because that's what they did for Ollivander's in Hogsmeade, or it was Hogsmeade, now it's in Diagon Alley, if you go to Wizarding World, where the front entrance, where you would actually, like, you know, set into the movie, going into Ollivander's, you have a whole interactive wand thing, but the back half of the shop is the storefront where you buy the merch and stuff like that.
That's so cool. I like that.
It's smart. Universal knows what they're doing when it comes to the park design. Absolutely.
Put a lot of thought into it.
So apart from the Fennels, famous ex-students of Beauxbatons include Vincent Duc de Truffaut-Picqueuse, who escaped from the terror by casting a concealment charm on his own neck and pretending that his head had already been cut off. Luc Menefluel, the infamous pastry maker and muggle poisoner in Fleur Delacour, who fought in the world-famous Battle of Hogwarts, married Bill Weasley, and was awarded medals of bravery from both the French and British Ministries of Magic. Opalie Maxime, headmistress in the mid-1990s, was, in spite of her protestations to the country, a half-giantess, clever, elegant, and undeniably awe-inspiring.
She really was in the film. They casted her magnificently.
Oh my god. They in the film, they casted her perfectly in the film.
Yes.
Absolutely.
She was a picture of grace and elegance, just and being a giantess too. Oh, it was just wonderful.
Right. And if you don't know, she makes terrible offense of Hagrid asking about, like, are you giant, and she freaks out on him. And then you get to the next book, because that's in Goblet of Fire, when you get to Half-Blood Prince, or not Half-Blood Prince, Order of the Phoenix, and with Hagrid. And Hagrid, when he goes to try to recruit the giants on Dumbledore's side, Madame Maxime is with him because she is half giant, just like Hagrid.
Yeah, she it was probably a defense mechanism because giantists were.
They were also considered quote-unquote half-breeds, which a lot of the pureblood families in the wizarding world don't like that.
Yeah, they all have a bias against it, prejudice against half-blood, but
yeah,
it's sad that she has to deny who she is just because of how her surroundings and how she grew up.
Right. So, Beauxbatons participated in the Trouser Tournament and was held in 1792 and the tournament that was held in 1994. During the 1792 tournament, one of the tasks involved catching a cockatrice. However, the beast went on a rampage and injured three of the judges. One that was injured at the time was the head of Beauxbatons. In the 1994 tournament, Fleur was selected school champion and finished in fourth place behind the other three contestants. During the 1994 tournament, Madame Maxive served as head of the academy. Yeah, she was last because she was not built for the Triwizard tournament, like, at all.
No.
Why she put her name in the goblet was beyond me, but she was not built for that tournament.
No. No, she really struggled with it. You could see that throughout the whole.
I mean, she got past the dragon. Okay, cool. But then the last two tasks, where she kind of dipped.
Yeah.
She
putting her sister in there in the lake too. That was a low blow.
Well, I mean, they put Ron, Hermione, and who was the fourth? It was Ron, Hermione. Cho.
Yes, Cho.
Cho, and then Fleur's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I guess to me it's because it's family. Yeah. To me it's family more so than friendship, and that hits a little differently. That's the only reason I can see it being different. Yeah,
that's true too. And then it's just funny though, going back to that scene in the books, we don't see this in the film, but in the books, you find out that none of them were actually in true danger.
Nope.
Because Dumbledore actually, somehow Dumbledore speaks merfolk, by the way, on land. Because, you know, if you hear merfolk above land, it's like screeching and terrifying pain sounds. And somehow Dumbledore speaks it. And it's like, what?
Kind of like speaking whale.
Yeah, right, yes, exactly. and turn to find out that none of them were actually in true immediate danger whatsoever.
Yep. No.
But because of the illusion of that they were, Harry was able to get second place.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. So, it worked out that way, but yeah, none of them were truly in danger.
No.
Yeah. So, in the 1927, French Wizarding newspaper, La Tri de la Gargoyle. I don't speak French, if you haven't noticed already. I don't speak it. I don't know much French. Reported a potion scandal involving Beauxbatons students. So there was a scandal with Beauxbatons. I'm assuming love potion.
Oh, maybe.
That's what I'm assuming. Who knows? I don't know.
Hard to say.
Okay.
Maybe had something to do with the muggle poisoner.
Kevin in the chat is speaking French, and I know bonjour. I know bonjour. I know that's like hello, but I don't know anything else in that comment. That's over my head. I'm sorry.
Appreciate the effort, but we're not going to be able to read it.
I know bonjour. That's the only word I know.
That's it. Yeah.
And then now we have to the castle and grounds. So the palace of Beauxbatons was a beautiful chateau surrounded by majestic gardens and fountains magically created out of the surrounding mountains. The school looked very impressive despite having stood for over 700 years.
Wow.
Hogwarts is still older.
True.
Well, the Hogwarts castle was already there before the school was there. So.
Yeah.
The school wasn't built by the four founders of Hogwarts. They just renovated the castle to be a school.
I feel like castle and palace, though, in this context are built differently. You can't really do much damage to stone, where a palace built with, like, French architecture had a lot more wood and, like, gold and stone and everything into it. So it being really nice for that long is pretty cool.
That's impressive.
It's very impressive.
But there's also magic.
All right. You know what? I was trying to look at it in a muggle perspective, but it's fine.
You're right.
Be amazed in other ways.
It's so impressive, but there's magic in this world. So,
very true.
So, in the dining chamber, wood nymphs serrated the students when they ate. And at Christmas, the hall was adorned with a great glittering non-melting ice sculptures.
No.
So, it's all fancy. It's all fancy.
It is very magical sounding, like a fairy forest magical. That's all I can imagine it.
Oh yeah. So it is said that the stunning castle and the grounds of this prestigious school were part funded by Alchemist Gold for Nicholas and Pranell Flamel met at Beauxbatons of the Youth in a magnificent fountain in the middle of the school's park, believed to have healing and beautifying properties, was named after them.
Oh, they're the couple of ages, right? Of the ages.
They were school sweethearts, just like, mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest, most of the couples we see in the Wizarding World were school sweethearts.
True. I think it has to do with being based around school anyway, but...
That, yes. And also, you know, you're in the school all year round, except for, like, the holiday.
Yeah, you definitely build stronger relationships and connections at that time.
Yeah.
They're all the time.
They're literally boarding school, so obviously you're going to get a lot more couples that way. Rather than what we have in the U.S. with public schools, where you go home after the end of every single day.
Yeah, which isn't bad either.
No. No, it's not.
No.
But forming couple relationships is
a lot easier when you're around them
24/7 rather than being only around them like 6 to 7 hours a day.
True. Only 5 days a week.
And only 5 days a week. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So, yes. But with that being said, we're going to take a quick mid break and we will be right back. All right, welcome to the middle show, where we talk about everything but the podcast that has nothing to do with the lore of the Wizarding World. Here, I want to thank everybody supporting the show and listening. I appreciate every one of you, and if you want to help support the show, you can go to a few different options of doing that. You can go to patreon.com/WizardingWorldLoreCast, where you can get ad-free episodes or even join us once a month at the end of each month of topic of your choice. You can support us on Apple and Spotify, leave a 5-star review on Apple with some words, or read that out loud the next time on the show, as well as a nice Spotify comment, which we don't have any this week, but that's okay. But you can also find us on various Discords. You can go to the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net, as well as my own Discord server, the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. Links for those are provided in the description below, to where you can interact with us, especially... since at the end of every episode we have a Quizzing World question, so
yes,
go to the Discord, answer those questions, and we'll shout those out at the end of every episode. And then other than that, you can find me on my other shows, the Holocron Histories, Star Wars Canon vs. Legends, the Final Fantasy Lorecast, and the Witcher Lorecast, all part of Robots Radio and on both those Discord servers, so you can go check those out there. And you can go to twitch.tv/BenofTemeria and go follow and get notified when I go live to go help me get affiliate status. Right now, I'm not even kidding, I'm at 2.89 out of 3. So hopefully with today's episode, I will wake up tomorrow morning, get an email saying I'm affiliate. So if I'm affiliate by the time you hear this episode, go subscribe.
Yes, come hang out. Come hang out in the Discord. There's a lot of fun gifts in there that crack me up.
Oh my gosh, yes, there's been so much going on. And I will say our Discord has like exploded in this last couple of months. It's been great seeing
it's wonderful
seeing all the people coming in and talking everything Wizarding World. Is just so great to see this show explode. Yes. I'm so excited for the future for it. But that's all I have for the event break. Do you have anything else to add?
Nope, I got nothing.
All right, well, let's get right back to it.
All right.
And hey, it's okay if Nina doesn't work, because as far as I see that I was told, I have 6 viewers right now. So that's all that matters right now. As long as I'm over that average of 3, that's all that matters to me. Because once I hit affiliate, I stay affiliate. I don't lose affiliate status.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. The only so with Twitch, you lose a partnership. If you become a partner, you can lose your partnership status, but you don't lose affiliate status. You stay affiliate.
All right, that's fair.
So now we are going into some traditions of Beauxbatons. So, students and staff were transported by the use of Bobatong's carriages. The carriages were light blue and pulled by a dozen winged horses.
Beautiful.
And by the way, these horses are freaking massive.
Beautiful.
They're beautiful horses, but they are freaking massive.
They remind me of those work horses. And oh, for the life of me, I don't
know. Oh, I know. You're talking about like the Budweiser.
Yes, horses. Those big. I can't remember.
I can't remember. I it's on the tip of my tongue. Clydesdales. Thank you.
Thank you. Because this is telling me draft horse. And I'm like, that's wrong.
Clydesdale. Clydesdales, yes.
Yes. Or Percheons and Shires can also be heavier than Clydesdales, too. But either way.
Clydesdales is what I think of because
yes.
It's the Budweiser horses. Those are the horses they use for the Budweiser commercials back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Beautiful horses.
So, despite being used as transportation by Bobatons, traveling in a Abraxian horse-drawn giant carriage the size of a house was a breach of the international statute of secrecy. The Abraxian horses only drank single malt whiskey.
Ooh, my kind of horse.
So, these horses only drink whiskey.
That's wonderful. That's how they got big and strong. That is
for the entire forever. That is a big tab. Holy
that definitely crap. Is.
I don't want to know how much that costs because whiskey's already expensive by the single freaking bottle. I don't
gives
want
new
know
meaning
how much...
to a watering hole. And they're calling saloons watering holes. Oof.
I mean, they would have to make an entire leg of literally of single malt whiskey for them just to graze.
Well, magic. I'm sure it's possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the students of Bobatons Academy were taught to stand at attention from their headmistress entered the room, only sitting down when she sat herself, showing their great respect for her.
Love that. I love that. It's something about that level of respect. When somebody walks in the room, everybody stands and waits and then sits down when they're seated. I don't know. That is mad respect.
Right. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At the Palace of Bobatons, they had ice sculptures all around the dining chamber at Christmas. The ice sculptures didn't melt and were like statues of glittering diamond. According to Fleur Delacour, the food was served at the school was superb, with the choir of wood nymphs that serenaded students as they ate. So... it's a very fancy Christmas time, rather than Hogwarts standard Christmas with trees and everything.
This is where I would want to go to school.
Though, I'm sorry, I would miss the singing armored knights. I would
just
miss that.
Each other up too.
Oh my god, I love that in Hogwarts Legacy. You're literally going down a freaking hall and you just see two armored suits just beating the living crap out of each other. And one literally just explodes because he took too much damage. And I was like, oh, that just happened.
It was the greatest find. It was one of my favorite.
It is always hilarious. That is true, Kevin. That is absolutely true. It's always hilarious. Or one's humming and the other one just bangs it across the head with his mace or something like that. Oh, it's great.
Yes!
It's great. He's tired of it. I love the armored suits.
Yes.
So, Fleur also implied that Bobatons valued order and did not amid mess, as she claimed a poltergeist would be very quickly expelled out of the palace. Mm-hmm. So, that is one good thing about Bobatons. They don't have to deal with poltergeists, so if Peeves ever showed up, they would immediately expel him out of that castle in a heartbeat.
Again, this is where I would go to school. It would be at Bobatons. I would learn French just to go to the school. It just screams my aesthetic, that's all.
My only thing is, like, the only thing that's keeping me wanting to go to the school is because I don't have to deal with Peeves.
See?
I despise that freaking poltergeist with a passion. though, not as much as a pink son of a gun.
Yes. And she would not be at Bobatons.
And she also, oh shoot, she would also be at Bobatons. Oh my god. That's mm-hmm. true. Oh no.
This is very true. That's what I'm saying. Man. I don't know. Bobatons is winning in my court. Because I don't really like practical jokes, so Peeves would just definitely get under my skin.
And Peeves is more, it's much more than practical jokes.
True. Yeah. He takes it a bit far.
Too far.
Yeah.
He's too far. Yeah. Anyway, for the uniform, the students' uniforms were pale blue robes made of fine silk.
And they just live in luxury wearing silk all the time.
So it's very, very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Oh, pretty.
It just speaks to my feminine side, I think. That's probably what it is.
So now we have their reputation and rivalry. So education at Bobaton's Academy was a similar caliber of education at Hogwarts. However, there were differences, such as Bobaton students taking their equivalent of our ordinary wizarding levels in their sixth year rather than their fifth year, like the Hogwarts counterparts.
Hmm.
Typically, Bobaton's Academy enjoyed a very warm, cordial relations with Hogwarts, as even during the Triwizard Tournament, the two schools enjoyed a healthy rather than bitter rivalry. Bobaton's won the tournament 62 times, and Hogwarts won 63. The last of these tournaments, from 94 to 95, the relationship with Hogwarts was somewhat more strained due to the Lord Voldemort's servant placing Harry Potter's name in the Goblet of Fire, therefore giving Hogwarts a second champion. Though the relationship did not become outright hostile, as individual Hogwarts and Bobaton students remained friendly towards one another, and some even attended the Yule Ball with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. That was probably the most strain of the relationship between Hogwarts and Bobaton's is from the Goblet of Fire Triwizard Tournament, because the whole incident with Harry. Other than that, like they have no reason to hate each other whatsoever. It's a friendly rivalry.
Yeah, friendly competition, which is always healthy and good.
Yes. Yes. In addition, Madame Maxime returned to Hogwarts for Albus Dumbledore's funeral, demonstrating that their cordial relationship continued between the schools.
Yeah.
Which we actually do see that in the film as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which is super nice. Super nice to see. So a bit of etymology. Bobaton was likely derived from this French beau batons, literally translating to beautiful sticks. In French, baguette is the word used for wand, and baton might be a reference to it, although it would be more likely translated to staff.
Okay, the baguette really threw me off, because now all I can picture is them holding a baguette and using it as a wand. I know it's wrong, and I'm sorry that the mental image is there.
Yeah. I think that's how you say it. B-A-G-U-E-T-T-E.
That's baguette, yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm not saying that wrong. Okay, cool. Mm-mm. Just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, no, you're fine.
Like I said, I don't know French. I'm sorry for anybody who speaks French. I do not know French. So, last but not least, we do have behind the scenes for the school. So, some Bobaton students and Madame Maxime attended the final of the Quidditch World Cup in England in 1994. It is known that Bobaton's, like Hogwarts, has summer holidays in August, and if there was a regular option to stay at Bobaton's during the summer, or if it was a special arrangement for the Quidditch World Cup only. In the book, it suggested both male and female students of the school are relatively good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them, I guess.
Yeah.
In the UK and US audiobook editions of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, the pronunciation of Bobaton sounds more French, as both Stephen Fry and Jim Dale respectively not having pronounced the S at the end of the name. Pottermore confirms Fry's pronunciation styling as Bobaton.
Mm-hmm.
In the film adaptation of Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Bobaton is incorrectly pronounced by Dumbledore as Bobaton. Bobatons. This appears to be an error in the pronunciation on Dumbledore's behalf, seeing as the French students pronounce it correctly. And that's how I pronounce it too, because that's all I've ever heard it as.
True.
If you haven't caught me, I always say Bobaton. Bobaton. I switch between the two, and it's.
Yeah,
it's French. I don't know French. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
This Bobaton's coat of arms is a shield surrounded by golden lions with two gold wands on the top. In the book, the cross wands emit three stars, each in the middle. the entrance of all female students into the Great Hall of the Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire film.
Mm-hmm.
Beauxbatons is pictured as the films as an all-girls school, which is directly contrast in the novel. At least four boys are in attendance in the book, and Dumont, Nicholas Flamel, Luke Minifil, and Vincent Dulittrefel Picqueux were students in earlier decades. Shown as a co-educational establishment is likely intended in the films as a contrast to the students of the Durmstrang, who in the film are all male.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally just a parallel. It's a contrast thing with the Hogwarts being the co-ed, Durmstrang being all male, Beauxbatons is all female. It's just symbolism in the film. That's all they wanted to do.
Yeah, absolutely. They didn't really have much standing.
And then Gabriel Decor appears already to be a Beauxbatons student. See, I keep saying Beauxbatons and Beauxbatons.
Student. You're catching yourself.
The book does not specifically identify her as such, though she does come to Hogwarts with other Beauxbatons students. The Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows reveals Gabrielle is to be 11 by that point, making her the 8 at the beginning of the Goblet of Fire. This suggests that Beauxbatons students start school at a much earlier age than Hogwarts. And the students of Beauxbatons likely buy their magical or material like books and wands on place. I don't know how to say this. It's French. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's C-A-C-H-E-E. I would say Cachy, but I know that's wrong.
Cachy?
It could be Cachy.
I think that might be right. I don't know. If you want to help us pronounce it later in the Discord, by all means, top in our
Please
Discord.
Do.
It's great. Yes. But that's what I have on Beauxbatons.
Mm-hmm. I always did wonder why Gabrielle Delacour even was a part of it, because she was the only young one that was there.
Correct.
Even in the movie, like, she was. I could never figure out a proper reason why she would be allowed to go, even if it was her sister there. It just never really made any sense why they were so attached and she was allowed to come to that school where she would definitely be out of place.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Who knows? Story plot.
Story plot. Absolutely. Lore-based, I couldn't give you a reason why.
Lore-wise, probably the Delacours have some...
Influence
in the school, probably, I'd imagine.
Could be. Yeah, maybe it's a big name over there. Could be.
But that's the only thing I could think of. But yeah, that's all I got. So before we go, we do have our Quizzing World quiz. What was the question from last week?
Last week, the question was, what bet do the Weasley twins make with Lugo Bagman during the Quidditch World Cup? Just the bet, not the stakes. I got asked that question. It was just wanting to know what it was. Hassel the Hoff and Terry the Table Terribles, 73-57, didn't get it right. Ireland wins and Crumb catches the snitch, which they were right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They do.
What he was Bulgaria, right? Was the team.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they were so far behind in points that even the 150 points from the snitch didn't.
Nope. Didn't make a difference.
Didn't do it for him.
Savvy. No.
Unfortunately, but that's what it was. So, the question this week is, I thought it was pretty fun. In what order are the Marauders presented on their map? What is the proper order of their names on the Marauders map?
I know this one because for one, I have the Marauders map literally right here next to me. and two, it literally had that like line memorized in my head.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Perfect. So if you know what the proper order is, shoot it in our Discord, shoot it in a Spotify comment, shoot it in Apple review, however you want to get a hold of us, and let me know. And I will let you know for sure next week if you get it right.
Yeah. It's a lot. I love doing these quizzes, and
it's so much fun.
And yes. Sometimes it trips me up. It's like, oh, wait, what was that? And it yes. reminds me of stuff I've listened or reread or something mm-hmm. from the books or films.
Yes. I'm going to give another shout out to Bjarne from Denmark for giving us all this information. He does have a Quizzing World Facebook page. You can find him on Instagram. You can find him in our Discord. He's very active in there as well. But I am extremely, extremely grateful that he reached out and he's like, hey, I got this idea that I want to share with you. Oh, it's been so much fun.
Yeah. It's been great. But yes. Yeah, so that's what we have for this week's Wizarding World Lorecast. So thank you for listening. And remember, the wand chooses the witch or wizard.
Thank you for listening to the Wizarding World Lorecast. You can find us on the Robots Radio Discord at robotsradio.net. You can find us on the Ben and Friends Podcasting Discord. You can also find us on Twitter at WWLorecast and even email us at wizardingworldlorecast@gmail.com.